edition of Global Print, I'm going to look both forwards and backwards at India's foreign policy. I'm going to discuss the Russia-India-China trilateral that took place last week with External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar hosting it. It was a virtual meeting, of course, but both the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov as well as the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi were present at that meeting. And what was quite interesting was that Mr. Jaishankar's screensaver on his computer was the Konark Sun Temple. You should take a look at that, dear viewer. And I will also look forward at the visit of Russian President Vladimir Putin to India on December 6th and what that means, what the significance of that is and what that holds for India-Russia ties going forward. But before that, dear viewer, I'd like to make an appeal to you. Please do subscribe, pay just a little bit, rupees 159 only. Click on the join button, become a subscriber. You will avail of benefits that non-subscribers don't have, obviously. But these are very special, lots of very exclusive offerings, which I'm sure you will enjoy and consume. So do click on the join button, become a subscriber to The Print and continue to help us as you have been doing over the last several months of the pandemic. Now back to my column Global Print, which I hope you will also read on The Print's website, where I make three points. The first is that the Russia-India-China trilateral, which is a format that the three countries have been having over the last several years. Now, of course, during the pandemic, that was not held physically, nor was it this year because of the continuing nature of the pandemic. And this is before the Omicron variant that has now scared the world. But the fact remains that even a virtual meeting of the three foreign ministers was held. That in itself is significant because, as you know, over the last year and a half, dear viewer, Chinese troops have occupied Indian territory on India's side of the line of actual control in Ladakh. In fact, they are not letting Indian troops patrol large swathes of that territory. There has been no resolution of that despite the last year and a half. So despite this disaffection, if you like, between India and China, the fact that a trilateral meeting was held in the first place is quite interesting. Now, one of the reasons it could have been held is because the Indians did not want to be seen to have any false pride. Now, you can argue that, you know, why should India or Indian leaders meet or talk to Chinese leaders when their troops are occupying within quotes Indian territory? But the fact remains that as a middling power, as a middle power, India must learn to be far more mature and talk to its antagonists, or even if you want to put it bluntly, even to its enemies. And I will not say that China is an enemy, that there are huge differences, but that's a very strong word in diplomatic jargon. So to the ability to discuss your differences with somebody who doesn't agree with you, is a sign of maturity. Now, you can argue why India doesn't do that with Pakistan, but that would then require another Global Print for me to explain those issues to you. So in this particular meeting, a Russia-India-China trilateral meeting took place. Unsurprisingly, a very anodyne kind of joint communique was issued at the end of it, talking about Afghanistan and how things are deteriorating over there. The situation is going from bad to worse. It's been 100 days since the Taliban took Afghanistan without firing a shot when it entered Kabul, and things have only become worse since then. Also in the communique was the joint fight against the COVID pandemic. We know that things in China are also bad. The Chinese have been locking down cities again. And obviously nobody went into how the virus exploded all over the world. That is an old story. But the fight against the COVID virus and the pandemic continues, and the RIC trilateral meeting referred to that. And then there was a mention of reforming or revamping multilateral bodies like the United Nations and the UN Security Council. Again, both Russia and China, permanent P5 members, permanent five members. You know that the other three are the US, UK and France. India, of course, is not a P5 member with a veto, but it's not likely that in the near future either an expansion of the Security Council is going to take place, or that other countries are, or that this exclusive club today of the P5, the permanent five, is going to allow other countries with the veto power. Having said that, you know, dear viewer, that India is a non-permanent member of the Security Council at right now. In August, it was the president of the council, and lots of things happened under its presidentship. So the joint communique issued by the RIC trilateral, very anodyne, very, very predictable, nothing to set the Ganga on fire or the Moskva for that matter. So you would ask yourself, why then did the Indians bother to have the RIC trilateral meeting at all? And I would say in response to that, you know, to reiterate what I just said earlier, which is that middling powers must engage with everybody, even though they differ with them across the board on a variety of issues. The second is, and this is where I think the RIC trilateral meeting is so important, which is that Russian President Vladimir Putin is coming to town on the 6th of December. On that day, there will also be a couple of other very important meetings, the first being the 2+2 defense and foreign ministers meeting. You know that this format became popular a few years ago between, it was started between India and the US. This is in under the first Modi government, when Sushma Swaraj was a foreign minister, and the Indian government's counterparts in the US, the defense and foreign ministers. And since then, this has acquired quite a bit of weight. Now, this format is now being extended to the Russian relationship. So the defense and foreign ministers of India and Russia will also meet on the 6th of December. And also, besides that, there is a joint commission meeting, which is going to look at how to improve the economic relationship between the two countries. It's quite embarrassing that the trade levels are still as low as they are. And while a lot of thought has been put into why private enterprises are not being able to leverage the strength of the bilateral political relationship, again, once again, the Joint Commission is likely to go into that. But what is also very interesting about Putin's visit is that this is only the second time since the pandemic began last March that he is getting out of his country. First of all, COVID cases back in Russia are rising every day. You hear reports of how Russians are not taking the vaccine, which is quite strange because the Russian scientific establishment is a very, very significant one. And in fact, there are a couple of Russian vaccines as well. So Putin is leaving his country. He was in Geneva in June to meet Joe Biden. That was a big summit meeting. In fact, Biden and Putin are going to have another virtual summit in the days to come. But this is only the second time that Putin is coming, is leaving Russia, coming to another country, to India. And that is the significance of this summit. Now, you would ask, what's so great about the Putin visit? Because this has been happening these last few years. So in a sense, it's more symbolic, isn't it? You would ask, dear viewer. You know, the Indian Prime Minister goes to Moscow one year, the Russian president comes to Delhi the other. What's so great about that? So my answer to that would be, the first is that this is only the second time that Putin is coming. The second is that I think both Putin and Prime Minister Modi understand that earlier, between India and the Soviet Union, it was a very warm tie. But over the last 20 years, as in the post-Cold War world, as India's friendship with the US has become far stronger, far deeper, far warmer, that has led in commensurate fashion to a decline in the warmth between the Indian and Russian relationship. Now, obviously, just because India and the US are getting closer together, that doesn't mean that India's relationship with Russia suffers, because Russia, notwithstanding the fact that it has become much, much, much weaker country in the post-Cold War era, the fact remains that there's lots of things going for it, apart from the fact that it is a permanent P5 member, has nuclear weapons, has a very strong scientific establishment, lots of collaborations between India and Russia on the scientific side. For example, the Russians have loaned India a nuclear submarine. In fact, India's own nuclear submarine project has a lot of has been aided and is assisted and abetted by the Russian scientific establishment. Some of these things don't come out as much because the media in both countries, we don't speak, our common language is not common. English is not a common language between us. Increasingly, though, Russians are speaking English. But because Indians don't really speak Russian, we don't really, the two elites don't really understand each other, which is a real pity, because things are changing so fast in Russia that we tend to look at it in very black and white terms, also in terms, in the manner in which the West perceives Russia, which I think is not such a good idea. So Putin and Modi, so to come back to the crux, the reason this is such an important visit is because both Putin and Modi understand that in this brave new world in which China is rising, America is declining, India and the US coming closer and closer together, Russia and China have a very warm and close friendship. Where do India and Russia stand? Now, I would argue that those in the higher echelons of decision-making in the government and External Affairs Minister Jaishankar, who has been a diplomat most of his life. In fact, his language specialization in the Indian Foreign Service is Russian, so he understands that country very well. The fact is that the Russians and the Chinese do not see eye to eye on a variety of issues. While it is quite popular, especially in the Indian elite imagination, to be very disdainful of the Russia-China relationship because some of us look at Russia as a junior partner of China. But the truth is that the Russian president does not exactly believe in that very, very straightforward argument. Now, Sergey Lavrov, his own foreign minister, who was present at the RIC trilateral last week, there was some, and there has been over the last year or so, very obvious differences in, say, for example, the description of the Indo-Pacific and the Quad, but specifically the Indo-Pacific. The Russians and the Chinese call it the Asia-Pacific, while India and the US call it the Indo-Pacific. In fact, you know that the Americans changed one of their naval commands and called it the Indo-Pacific Command. Now, this kind of caviling between Russia and India, is it the Indo-Pacific, is it the Asia-Pacific, doesn't make sense because it is the Indian Ocean at the end of the day. And it's not so much about what the descriptions are, but it's what you do with these concepts. So you could argue what's in a name. So it's not about the name itself, but what you do with that. So the Russians will be looking at how close India is getting to the US, especially in terms of in the Quad, for example, is India going to join what to the Russians looks like a military alliance? The Indians have said absolutely not. In fact, they've introduced very deliberately a measure of ambiguity in their participation, that is India's participation in the Quad being India, US, Australia, and Japan. But the Russians looking very seriously at the fact whether India is going to become, is very much a partner of in the Quad, a member of the Quad, but how is it going to perceive the Quad as well as its role in the larger Indo-Pacific? One of the reasons why the Russians are so wary of India right now, and that makes for one of the biggest divisions or fractures in the India-Russia relationship, is because if they see India moving closer towards the US, then that drives the Russians closer into the embrace of the Chinese. So I would argue that this is a huge opportunity for Prime Minister Modi when Putin comes to Delhi, which is that India is an independent-minded country and will follow an independent-minded foreign policy. So on the one hand, India has absolutely nothing to be embarrassed about its proximity or its closeness or the warmth of its relationship with the US. But on the other hand, it should equally have no embarrassment and should not be able to feel less than anything when it describes the India-Russia relationship to the Americans. Remember that the Russians are giving you the S-400 missile, which is a very, very sophisticated missile. And one of these missile systems is supposed to be also protecting the capital of the country, which is Delhi. So the India-Russia relationship, obviously defense being a key driver of that relationship, but there are several other areas. You have energy. The energy collaboration is actually a very good one. But all in all, the fact remains that the political or the diplomatic relationship is not as good as it used to be. And one of the reasons for that is that the Indians believe, like I said before, that Russia is a junior partner of China, which I hope that Vladimir Putin is going to, a notion that Mr. Putin is going to dispel in Delhi. And I'm absolutely sure that Prime Minister Modi also understands that when you're a big player, you don't become a junior or a senior partner of any other country, just like India. Our sphere of influence, not just in South Asia, but it's expanding across both ASEAN as well as the Gulf. So there is no reason why India should be permanently part or seen to be part of any one bloc or against the other. So I will end on this note. It will be fascinating to read the tea leaves when the Russian president comes to town and the manner in which that meeting takes place and what it brings forward, because that, I believe, will set the course or the direction of the relationship in the years to come.